You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
And so God's Word says, what He shows us in verses 1 through 7, we're going to go back and look at it. 1 through 7, what it produces is just joy that's unspeakable. And you know what unspeakable is. I have no words to say it. There's no way, it's inexpressive. I feel that way so often. Amen. When I try to tell someone that I'm just so very grateful, or I'm just so very thankful. When I tell the church, sometimes I'll lay in bed at night and I'll think, I wish I would have said this way so they really understood. Maybe that's the way it is or not. Or at a funeral service, I wish I would have just expressed it, or a wedding. And maybe part of that's the devil, just, you know, try to trip your mind up. Some men, I was hearing your dad preach, Wally Davis, in the office yesterday. Someone had him on a podcast doing something with that. And I said, that man, he just had just the best vocabulary. He could express something, and he's with our Lord, and he said, well, I'm glad, so glad. I wish I could, but that's not how his voice sounded. He had a deeper voice than me, big old tall boy. Was your dad 6'4", or 6'4"? Big fella, Brother Wally Davis. And he'd say, I'm glad to be, I heard him, I'm glad to be here at the great North Valley Baptist Church. The people I love so, and he just the way, I said, I wish I could talk like that. And you know, probably all of you know so, but that's what this word, joy unspeakable. I've got so much joy inside. It's overflowing, but I can't even, it's inexpressible. It's unspeakable. I don't have the words to say it, is what he's talking about. And tonight, we begin in verse 1, and I'm going to ask you to keep your Bible open and mark some things as we go, please. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered. Now, remember, these were scattered Christians. It wasn't an easy time for the people of God. It wasn't a time of roses. It was a time of thorns in their church, in their life at that season. They were scattered Christian. And yet, the scattered and the trial is going to create such joy in his heart that it came to the point we think about all that God's done. It's unexpressible, inexpressible. You can't express it. What do you mean, this trial? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 7. He said to these people, these scattered people, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with the fire. So these people were going through a hard time. You know what hard times really do? They reveal who you are. They reveal who I am. Sometimes I fail the test when I go through hard times. I watch Christians fail the test all the time. When we're going through a hard time, we have to take ownership that God allowed this, or this is on my plate. This is on me. I did this. I created this. Or God sent this into my life, because God sends fiery trials, James chapter 1. But you know what I find? Pastoring the same church 48 years, the ministry 54 years. You know what I found out? That most times when people go into a trial, We go the blame game. Maybe you blame your parents. I missed out so much having to go to the Christian school, having to go to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Well, yeah, you know what? Quite frankly, you did. You missed out of drug rehabs, and you missed out of juvenile hall, and you missed out on being an alcoholic, and you missed out about destroying your life. Yeah, you missed out a lot, because you know why? You had to wear certain clothes to school and carry a Bible and get math books and do homework. Oh, it's so hard. So we blame our parents. I've watched parents get blamed by their kids, young kids, till I'm blue in the face. And this is the greatest church in America.
Amen.
And as I preach across America, so many places, those kids are just AWOL. They're just out of it. We blame our parents. We blame the church. I'm kind of hoping that before the rapture, I could just be a church member instead of pastor, because I'd love to blame the pastor on everything. You know, it's amazing how bad pastors are, how terrible they are. They're just awful people, awful people. You know, what they do, pastors like you, Brother Hillman, I'm talking to you right now. What you do, you take a Bible and open up and you try to teach people this book. You're a bad man. You're an awful man. I'd like to be a member of your church in Virginia so I can blame you on all my problems. Or we blame the Christian school. Or we blame the youth group. Or we blame the church. No one's friendly in that church. Duh! He that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know, flip this thing around. Well, no one in our church. Stop blaming. Well, America. Well, society. Well, the Bidenites. All, we blame everybody. I wish we'd just take ownership. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, David said. These people will go through trials, and trials reveal who we are. That's why we just had the privilege of our life to give to a couple that have gone through and continue to go through a trial. And their two children, a senior in high school and maybe a sophomore in high school, junior somewhere, I don't know where both are at right now. But I do know Ben is going to graduate soon. And just a few weeks, I want you to know, those kids haven't missed a beat. Why? Because parents did not miss a beat. Brother Panera, thank you for the, I see you shaking. They don't miss a beat, but I watch sometimes when parents miss a beat, I tell you what, your kids miss 2 and 3 beats. You have sorrows, you have disappointments, you lose a job, you have, we've had so many in the last 2 months that are looking for houses and this one that they're renting and the owner died and they're selling it and they got X amount of days to get out. And I've watched so many on our staff just trusting God that God's going to provide, sometimes just down to the wire. Sometimes you're 17 days from getting married and nothing's worked, and it finally worked and you finally got a place. And same way with the last wedding, just somehow at the last minute, God gave a miracle. And we've got some right now looking at our houses. And you know what? The husband and the wife are just, you know, God's going to do it. Amen. Yeah, but you got to start packing. Well, we're not ready to pack. We don't have anywhere to go. You know, God always comes through.
Amen.
And you lose your job. I had a man years ago, and I'll never forget it. This was back in the 70s. Some kid in the backyard in one of the neighbor houses was playing around with a BB gun, and he shot the gun, and the BB went through the neighbor's house. And the man, I went and saw him, and he says, you know, I don't know how much more of this trials I could take. Replace the window. It was a BB gun. The kid was just goofing off. I mean, it's not the end of the world. There's an accident, and your son or your daughter, or your wife or your husband or somebody has an accident, and you dent up the car. The first question is, do you know what this is going to do in our insurance? The first question should be, you're okay. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you all right? You hurt? Don't move, hon. Just stay right settled there. David, you're a cop. You know all about that. Brother Art, former cop, both of you guys know. You just settle them down. And then, do we need to call an ambulance? No, I don't think so. Well, just rest right there. Well, look what I did to the car. You notice I raised my pitch? You want to try it again? Look what I did to the car! Ladies, for your information, people that are involved in most car accidents, male or female? Let's take a vote. How many think men are involved in more car accidents?
Yeah.
That's not a good thing. How many think it's women that are involved in more accidents? Well, I'll tell you twofold to that. One, men are involved in more accidents than women. But we have to drive defensively, dodging you. That's why. Yes. Hey, you know, your family member has an accident with a car. Chill out. Fix the car. You say, well, we don't have that kind of collision on it. Well, that's not on them. Slow down, folks. And I know some of these trials, they're what he says here, fiery trials. They're not little fires. They're hard trials. But no one ever blamed. Well, Pastor, if you would handle this differently, or if the school would be more fair to my kids, principal, if you would just be more fair to us. Well, yeah, here's what we do here at school. School's 47 years old. I think it's 48 years old, whatever it is. I think I'll tell you. What we do, we have favorites list. And on the favorites list, we always put my kids first. I'm glad I don't have kids in the school anymore, so I don't have to hear that. No, my kid was just better than your kid. Of course, every coach, I said, my son's a starter, your kid's not. No, are you kidding me? That would hurt my kids. Well, my kid gets demerits and somebody else's kid doesn't get demerit. Well, it's because they give more money than you. That's how we do it around here. You know, that's how we do it. We look and see how much money you give. This is going to go online. I can't wait. And when we realize you give us, and tell in the depth section, I'm doing a funny right here, okay? All right. When we see how much money you give, you know how many times I've looked at the money, business manager, in 48 years? Zero. It's not my area to look at the money. I can tell you who gives and who doesn't. I can read the crowd. May I say that these are scattered? We're getting where we go. But in the midst of this trial, this fiery trial, some through the fire, some through the flood, some through great sorrow, but all through the blood.
Amen.
You're going to go through trials. Figure out ahead of time how you're going to react. And this man, Peter said, I know you have trials, but I have such unexplainable, indescribable joy. What created it? Well, let's go through it quickly, and we're almost out of time, but let's look at it. Verse 2. Elect. That's why he had joy, because of election. What is election? Does that mean that God, the next two words work together. Does that mean that God said, okay, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell. You're going to heaven, you're going to hell. I love the best way to look at election. I think it was D.L. Moody said, God voted for me. The devil voted against me. I cast the deciding ballot. God's not electing people to go to hell, for he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't see what we're doing? We're blaming on God. God chose them to go to hell, so let's not send missionaries there. That's a country that's just a God-hating country. Let's don't send. No, but God's not willing that any should perish. And so he's going to get such unexplainable joy because of the election. And this, look at the next word, and the foreknowledge of God. Oh, God knows who's going to get saved. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but duh. He's God, sure he knows. He knows the beginning and the end. He's Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
He knew a creation before you were ever formed or born. He knew that you were going to come to Christ. Are you going to reject Christ? God knew that. And if God doesn't, that's foreknowledge. God can see everything. God knows the Father when he's going to tell the Son, go get my children and the rapture take place. And then the tribulation takes place. God knows that. I say this very carefully. God's not an old, long gray haired old man. And I almost sound irreverent. I don't mean to be rocking chair in heaven, half dozing, half sleeping. like some leaders I know. God's eyes, 2 Chronicles 6:9, are always running to and fro throughout the whole earth. Show himself strong in behalf of those that love him. Keep his commandments. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's ever interceding for me. So we have, I tell you, it's almost like a boiling, getting a little hotter and hotter. Election and foreknowledge. And look, the next word, he said, sanctification of the Spirit, set apart. God set us apart. Look at the next one, word number 4. Under the obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood. By the way, hold it right there. Just go over a page in 1 Peter chapter 1. Would you read verse 18 and 19 with me? Ready, begin. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Here it is. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So it's sort of like a boiling water on the, but it's not boiling yet. It's just starting to simmer. Starting to get warmer and warmer. Things are going to explode in just a minute. Election, foreknowledge, sanctification, and the blood. That's all in one verse. He said all those things have taken place. In a few moments, he goes, I've got so much joy. It's unexplainable. It's unspeakable. Because of these things. How about verse 3? Blessed. Blessed. Happy. Blessed be God. God makes me happy. I am blessed. I'm blessed beyond all measure. God has sent me here to tell you that we have such a wonderful life. It's great.
Amen.
And blessed. And then he uses the word mercy. These are, I hope you're underlining these words, which according is abundant mercy. God's mercy is God's attitude towards you and me in our distress. It's different than grace. God's attitude toward me when I'm in distress. Grace is God's attitude toward me as a sinner. Grace. God's here. He sees me, a stranger, a foreigner, an enemy of the cross, and his grace reached me. Amazing grace. Grace and mercy are not the same. Mercy is when you go through a trial that God has pity and God has concern in our distress. And this apostle Peter is starting to give us all these words. Let's review the words. Verse 2, there's 4 of them. Elect, foreknowledge, sanctification, the blood, and then verse 3, bless. And verse 3, mercy. And then what he says, a lively hope. Underline that, please. A lively hope. We have a living hope. Hope is the anticipation that good is about ready to come. We get all worked up how bad the nation is, how bad the world is. Guess what? I really have hope that either a revival is coming or the rapture is coming. We win, we win. Hallelujah, we win. Got two good things to look forward to. A revival or the rapture. But it doesn't stop there. He says there's another word. By the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Up from the grave he arose. So we see all these words. You stay in verse 3. Election, foreknowledge, sanctification, the blood. Verse 3, what's the 4 words there? Blessed, mercy, hope, and resurrection. But it keeps going. To an inheritance. I won't go back on that word much because we covered it on a Sunday morning in the book of Colossians beginning in January. But an inheritance is just something that's passed down to another person. And our Lord is, we have an inheritance in Christ. And it's incorruptible. You underline that word? I hope you're doing it. Incorruptible. My inheritance and all that God's doing, there's no corruption with it. And look at the third word. It's undefiled. No stain. It's pure. And the fourth word, so far we see four words in verse 2 and four words in verse 3 and four words in verse 4, fadeth not away. What do you mean fadeth not away? It's guarded. It's protected. And how important it is to realize that God has protected us. My goodness, can't you understand why he is talking about that? I'm all excited about this. I've got unexplainable joy. And then notice what he says in verse number 5. To an inheritance of who are kept. Well, there's a good word. When God keeps us, he secures us. I love John chapter 10. Is it 28 and 29? I think, let me, the Bible says this, that me, this little sheep, I'm in Jesus' hand. No one's going to take me out of there. But it says that Jesus is in my Father's hand. So you folks that want to lose your salvation, that's nothing but pride. Because you're saying, I can kick Jesus out. And I can kick the Father out. That's arrogancy. No, I'm secure. I have eternal life in Christ. I'm kept. And then the next word he uses is faith. Faith is believing without seeing. And that's why he's going to deal with this word in just a minute. And then the third word is salvation. I'm delivered. I'm saved. You see that word, salvation, revealed in the last times. That is in these days. God's revealing his son to us. So there's four, for the sake of time, I'm not going to review, four great thoughts in verse 2 and four great thoughts in verse 3 and four great thoughts in verse 4 and four great thoughts in verse 5. There's 16 items. But now you're going to have to go through some trials. Verse 6. Let's read 6-7 together. Ready? Begin. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes. So we get to verse 8, our text, and we wrap it up. Whom having not seen. None of us in this room have ever seen Jesus. But I know I'll see Jesus someday. I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him face to face with Christ my Savior. But you know, we are living by faith right now. No eye has ever seen Jesus. My spiritual heart has seen him. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. Whom having not seen, I don't see him, but what happens? I love him. Paul said that at the church at Colossae. He said, I've not ever seen you, but I love you. I've gone to other countries, but I'm thinking of one right now. When many years ago, I went to the Philippines. I could say Korea or any other country, but I went to the Philippines. I'd prayed so much for the Philippines, and we've had so many Filipinos in our church. But I tell you, when I went there, I was able to tell those congregations, I love you folks. And I do. I had never seen them. But I saw the way in poverty many of them lived, and so happy in the Lord. And they'd sing, I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. I remember that first time I gave that invitation at Brother Rick Martin's church, that big, big, huge building. You built them the bigger one now. I remember that invitation. All of a sudden, people started coming from everywhere. I didn't realize it. It was the soul winners. They were coming from all over the outside and inside that auditorium. And then people began to come, and they began to bring people down the aisles. It was such a wonderful invitation. I love those people. I love the people tonight in all these Latin America countries. We have missionaries there. I love the people all over Africa. We have missionaries there. Brother Kim, I see you and your precious wife. Korea, 1977, first time I went. I fell in love with the Koreans, but I was already in love because we were sending missionaries there and supporting missionaries. We are going quickly. Whom have you not seen you love? I love him, is what he's saying. And whom now ye see him not yet believing. I love him. I believe him. You know, I thought of that every time I say, I believe. Curtis Hutchinson preached here. It's coming up on 40 years, first pastor's conference. On a Sunday morning, Tom Mapusin was sitting. His grandmother prayed and prayed and invited. He was a prison guard. And he walked forward, got saved. He told Fred Sly, I didn't know what to say, but he said, I believe. I believe. And he got saved. He's been one of our pastors here for 30 some years. I believe. I love. I believe. Look what else he says in that verse. Ye rejoice with joy. I rejoice.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.